Most people give out of gratitude for the past and hope for the future. What inspires you to be generous? Did you learn it as a child? I remember someone telling me about his family, and they would sit around the kitchen table when Dad got paid, and there would be envelopes on the table for everything that they had made a commitment to or a bill they needed to pay. And they watched as their parents put the money in each of those envelopes, and the first one was always their pledge to the church. What a role model that was. But what might that look like today when we do everything with a plastic card? A plastic card. That's funny, isn't it? I hardly carry any cash anymore myself. Maybe sitting together as a family or a couple would be talking about making that commitment or pledge to a church with your children. I believe we learn generosity. The learning comes from our families, our communities, what we see and hear, and what is modeled for us. One of the most important places we learn generosity is the church. And one thing I can tell you with certainty, this church is generous. There is so much to celebrate about our impact in the community around us. We not only impact our local community, we make a difference in cities like Detroit when we go on our CAS mission trip each year. In our global village, we make a difference because we impact places in the world through our denomination, the Presbyterian Church USA. We are a connected kind of church. We can do more in the world through our connection with other churches than we could ever do by ourselves. You graciously support a church staff here. Are you aware of how your pastor nominating committee learned about me and got my dossier? It took place through our denomination service that matches churches who are looking for pastors with pastors who are looking for churches. Sometimes that happens by word of mouth, but this service linked me up with you all, and pretty soon I got a call, and you can ask the PNC members, the pastor nominating committee members. It took kind of a long time, but they were glad when they finally were able to make a call, and the church confirmed it. That was almost 6 years ago, and we are going strong. Leadership makes a difference with what happens in a congregation. I've never been happier serving a church, and I am exhilarated about the future. Just think of the powerful impact this church has had since its inception. St. Andrew's and our community has raised in the neighborhood of $100,000 for charitable organizations in the 15 years through our Concerts on the Hill. That is worth celebrating. This church has had amazing impact fixing homes and supporting people's lives through STAMP. 1 week a year, we have that kind of impact. That is worth celebrating. This church has fulfilled goals that the session set a few years ago, and almost every single goal on that list has been met, plus some, including paying off the debt of this building. Why quit celebrating, right? Your session is now ready to make a commitment to another set of goals. What are your hopes and dreams for St. Andrew's? We want to know. Your session believes God is capable of doing remarkable things through this church, as has been seen in its history. When you were in the beginning stages of forming a group of people to become a church, the experts who work with the new church development told you all that there weren't enough people in Benzie County to make a Presbyterian church. Don't you just love it when God is able to accomplish things that others think cannot be accomplished? When you picture the future of St. Andrew's, what is your picture? Here's something that will make you think twice, or I hope it will. When you create visions of what you want to see in your future, or in our case, in the church's future, When we picture something in our minds and hearts, God sees the picture with us and begins to work with us to make it happen. It's not magic. It's that God helps us and shapes us to be who God wants us to be. We need some new pictures around here. Yes, we have excellent things established, but I think God has more in store for us. Don't you? I hope so. When Paul and Barnabas helped form churches in the earliest days after Christ's resurrection, they ran into all kinds of roadblocks, but it never stopped them. Did you notice today in our reading from Acts that after their many journeys to form churches and to find disciples to lead them, they gathered back together and celebrated their accomplishments? It is noted that it was a good piece of work. St. Andrew's has been about a good piece of work. We celebrate and we look to the future. People who are generous are grateful for the past and with hope look to the future. So what might a good piece of work look like in 5 to 10 years around here? What do you see? What do you hear? If we are the hands and feet of Christ, as Larry and Judy spoke to us about, what will these hands and feet accomplish in the years to come? What is God calling us to be and do? I picture a thriving church. I picture a church where people are being discipled in Christ, where they are learning what it means to pick up their cross and follow Christ. Now, I don't mean a cross that is a burden. I mean a cross that leads to freedom, love, grace, and connection. Christ is not hanging on the cross anymore. It's an empty cross, a cross of resurrection, a cross of eternal life, a cross leading into a positive future. You might have also noticed in the Acts reading that when they began to put muscle and sinew in the lives of the disciples, urging them to stick with what they had begun, not quitting, they also made it clear that it wouldn't be easy. They said, "Anyone signing up for the kingdom of God has to go through plenty of hard times." St. Andrew's has seen a few of those hard times too. It hasn't always been smooth sailing with leadership, meeting budgets, and holding on to the picture of God's freedom, love, grace, and connection. I can say with conviction, because I've experienced it personally, that this congregation knows how to get through hard times. You circle the wagons, you reach out, you support, and you show up. And you do so in a variety of ways. When you struggled with pastoral leadership in the past, you banded together, founded leadership among the retired pastors around here, and marched on. When you wondered how in the world you would get this beautiful building paid off, you banded together and made a plan. When you got tired of parking in a muddy parking lot, you banded together and brought in the asphalt trucks. And when you wondered how you could possibly make an impact on the poverty in our backyard, you banded together and created STAMP. When you have hit hard times, you have, with God's help, figured out how to get up and go forward. I believe at the core of this congregation's DNA are three things: hospitality, building discipleship in Christ through worship, music, and study, and a deep commitment to meeting human need. You consistently invite people to be a part of the energy and faith of this place. The seeds you plant in welcoming newcomers help to create a fruitful congregation. You not only show up for worship consistently, you are committed to creative ventures in music. Whoever thought we'd sing the Rudder Requiem with an instrumental ensemble and 50 people from this church and the community? You have also made a commitment to education. Your adult ed program keeps expanding. But one of the most endearing things this congregation has done is to make a weekly commitment to a Sunday school shepherd and nursery care workers to our children. The seeds of a fruitful future of generosity and discipleship are planted in childhood. And of course, who thought we'd ever host over 300 local children and families at our annual trunk or treat, which we're going to have next month? While all of these components make up a growing, solid, fruitful tree, the one that creates the most fruit is when we reach beyond our walls and our windows. Christ teaches us that we do not exist for ourselves. We exist to touch lives, to meet human need, to offer God's love beyond ourselves. Our mission statement, speaking and acting in the name of Christ, points us out the doors. The mission of God in Christ is about relaying good news, not bad news, not sad news, not scary news, but good news. That is what we do when we plant seeds of faith. We share good news. One of the places we learn the most about following Christ is in our encounters with people beyond this place. Today, as we think about our commitments and pledges to St. Andrew's, here is what I'm making my commitment to and pledging to as your pastor. I want this church to have good leaders, solid prayer and worship, and an ongoing urgency about our mission that keeps us reaching for the stars. I want this church to pray literally for God to show us the future God wants. I invite you to start praying a specific prayer today. With an open heart, pray, God, what do you want St. Andrew's to be and do? To what are you now calling us? To what do you want us to be faithful to in the future? I want this church not to be afraid to enter the future God shows us, because God will speak through us. Through whatever hardships, whatever joys, whatever concerns, whatever celebrations, I want us to commit to new things and to keep reaching. I want this church not to wait for tomorrow. I want to enter into God's future today. You have made extraordinary decisions in your past. Building a new church is an extraordinary decision. Now, some 20 years into this process, let's continue to be bold. It's in your DNA. To God be the glory. Amen.